Good morning, Texas. This is Mike Paulson, Cup of Goodness from North Dakota. This is program number 48. We are going to probably finish this track that I've made. It's called Why Pastors Today Don't, Won't, and Can't Preach Paul's Gospel. Paul affects his preaching. Paul affects his church. Paul affects his people. Paul affects the price of pastoring. Let's look at these things again this morning. These are based on my observations as I've talked with pastors over the years and talked with other people that have finally gotten out of the snare of the devil on their own. And so see if some of the things that we've talked about here that Paul has affected the pastor's preaching. It takes away their popery, is what we said yesterday. It takes away the power of guilt that these pastors put on their people. Can't use sin anymore to preach the squeeze to their congregations. It takes away guilt sermons, places them where they belong, and that's in the tribulation. Explains the tribulation properly today. Don't need to buy a bunch of books on the tribulation. Just read your Revelation. Read Paul's books in the Thessalonians that talks about it. It's even mentioned in Jeremiah, especially in Daniel chapter 11 and chapter 12. But it also says the details for the tribulation are sealed until the end. So that's the way that goes. No point in making up stuff just to sell a book. It shows that the pastors are led by history, led by former sermons that apparently worked at one time. Bring them up again and try it again. That's not very fresh when it comes to supposedly from God. Now, Paul's preaching eliminates the picking and choosing, rightly divided, I call it, where they take one verse and they make it apply to whatever dispensation they can make it apply to, so it varies within different verses. No, it varies according to the college that you attended. Envy. We talked about the fact that the pastors are envious of the people that get excited about their Bible. We looked at Apollos, who ended up preaching the way of God more perfectly. Jesus preached the way of God, and Apollos heard about what Paul was teaching, and he went out and preached more perfectly, the way of God more perfectly. Some pastors just totally misunderstand the book of Romans, and Paul would clean up that confusion. It's a fantastic book, especially Romans chapter 5 through 8 that deals with sin. It shows what Christ did when it comes to sin. It's just fantastic stuff to learn. They don't see that the teachings that Christ showed to Paul, they don't understand that the teachings that Paul teaches about the risen Savior are so different about what Jesus taught to the Jews. You can't mix them both. You got to have one or the other. And apparently everybody's chosen to go with the Jesus to the Jews, but we're Gentiles. We're in the dispensation of grace. So I go with Paul's teachings to the dispensation of grace. Now, we'll pick it up where we left off yesterday. The next point was it presents a different burden for the pastor. Right now, the burdens for the pastors are about getting more people. They have a burden for more people, but not for the people. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10. Let me show you a couple of verses here. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10. And he says, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me." So Paul was concerned. He wanted other people to understand that grace. He didn't want it for himself. He wanted it for everybody else. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 5. "For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you, and our labor be in vain." Paul was concerned that these people would not trip up. He was concerned about his people. And most pastors are concerned about more people, not concerned for his people. Look at verse 10. "Night and day, praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith." Now you could say, night and day, praying exceedingly that we might see your face so we can get the bills paid, so we can get you to go out on visitation, so we can get somebody to help build the building and pave the parking lot, so we can get more people to come in, so more people would come in because more people are coming in. No, Paul wanted to see them. He wanted to be with them so he could perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Now remember, perfecting that which is lacking in their faith was not to make their life more sinningless. It was to perfect that which was lacking in their faith. Helps them be stronger Christians, more joy, more peace, stronger in their faith. He was concerned about the people. Look at Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4, verse 11. "I am afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain." Now, he's not afraid of them, that they're going to hurt him. He's not afraid of them because anything about him. He's afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. He's afraid for them that if they didn't get what he was teaching, that the labor would be in vain. And again, he's not concerned about his labor being in vain. He says, I'm afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. In other words, if he couldn't get it across to them, he was feeling bad. He wasn't complaining about himself, wasn't concerned about himself. He was concerned about them. Are they getting what he's trying to teach them? And I understand that. When you start realizing what it is that Paul is teaching and preaching and what it can do to a person's life and the life and a person's own private life when he puts his head on his pillow at night, he wants people to get it. He realizes that that will be their judgment seat. The works that they're doing will be rewarded to them if they can only make these changes in their lives, not because they have to, not because of the guilt of sin, not because of God going to bestow upon them some tragedies if they don't do the right thing. It just pleases God and helps those people grow in their what? In their faith. He was always concerned for his people, not to get more. Philippians chapter 2, verse 16. Holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. And again, if he's worried about his labor being in vain, it's not because of him, it's because of people that he talked to didn't get it. That was always Paul's concern. Okay, so something else that Paul's preaching does to the pastor, it affects his preaching in the fact that it makes this pastor choose between preaching the truth or build a church. Now, for years and years, I kept hearing pastors say they would go to Thessalonians here, and they would talk about 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first. And they would always talk about this so-called falling away, which is what it says that will take place before the devil himself shows as the Antichrist. But they kept talking about this falling away, and yet they're trying to build their church. Now think about this. If there's truly a falling away taking place, you're either going to have your church fall away, meaning the local assembly, the people. If you're going to continue to preach the truth, then that church is going to fall away. People are not going to be interested, Romans 11:22. Or if you're going to build a church, build a growing church, you're going to have to back off on preaching the truth. You want to have favor with people, you can't tell them the truth. Not these days. That's exactly what the Bible talks about. In Amos chapter 8, it talks about the famine of hearing the word of God during the tribulation. Now, this isn't the tribulation, but we're getting closer, without a doubt. Hearing the word of God is almost in famine portions. Not much left anymore. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God which you heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. So these other Bible versions, these other modern Bibles, are not the word of God. These are words received from men. Then those Bibles will not effectually work in people, and thus the falling away. Yet while they're falling away, their church is growing. Doesn't make sense, does it? Something's wrong. There has to be a growing of a false church to prepare for the Antichrist to come back, Revelation chapter 6, to be able to take over with people who are convinced that that's the real Christ. Something else that Paul would affect a pastor's preaching was the pastor will end up fighting the brethren. He'll end up talking to the people within the church who are realizing their Bible says what it says, and they're getting excited about this. They're getting excited about the truth, and the pastor's going to have that enviousness, and they're going to start having fights. And they're going to accuse the person who's getting excited about his Bible, getting excited about rightly dividing, getting excited about following Paul. This excitement that these people are having are going to cause the pastor to stress out, as we're talking about here. He's going to start saying to the people, now you're starting to cause a problem. You're starting to divide the brethren. So the pastor's going to end up fighting with his people. The big enemy for Paul's teaching, as we read in Acts chapter 13, it isn't just the leaders in the community, it says here, but the Jews stirred up the chief men of the city. Yeah, they have a problem with this stuff. but they also stirred up the devout and honorable women. And it says, but the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women. Paul is not out there to stir up any trouble at all. None of us are here to stir up any trouble. But the people that hear this are the ones that stir up the trouble. And when it says in Acts 13:49, and the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region, because in verse 48, when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And then in verse 50, but the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the men of the city. This is what happens. People get so upset, so angry, mad at God, mad at the Bible, mad at rightly dividing, mad at the preacher, mad at the doctrine, because it goes against their happiness. It goes against, as the Bible calls it, their flesh. These so-called Christians have everything but grace. They honestly cannot handle the liberty that Paul teaches. Because in Ephesians chapter 4, Paul talks about we need to grow up as Christians. We need to learn how to have this liberty. We need to learn how to, if all things are lawful, that still doesn't mean we can go out and do everything. We have to follow those strings attached. We have to follow the stuff that still pleases God. And that's being the mature Christian. Christians start to mature within their local assembly, they're going to start to realize that something's not right. It's going to cause them to be attacked by the pastor. Okay, another point here. Paul's doctrine, Paul's teachings, Paul's gospel will make pastors quit preaching the blame onto Christians for the condition of America today. Christians have heard of the Great Commission for years. There's been people supposedly being born again for years. But what's the problem here? Nobody has taught these Christians, quote unquote, how to walk to please God. So is it the people's fault? It's not the people's fault. It's the pastors. Deceiving and being deceived. They're not teaching the Christians how to be a Christian, which would have eventually changed America. And yet their concern, as they preach, is we've got to get our lives right so we can fix America, fix this world, and then Christ will come back. And that's totally against the scriptures there. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. If they just get a hold of Paul's teachings, if they just get a hold of the risen Savior, it could fix everything, but we know that's not going to happen. It really could. If Christians started living the life they should, according to Paul's teachings in Timothy and Titus, they wouldn't be the hardcore, unloving, flaky, flighty, I call them butterfly Christians, and their change would be noticed by people. As we see in 1 Thessalonians, let me show you a verse here, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. And this has to deal with the fact that Paul would change the mission board, but we're just going to look at this verse anyway because it fits into what we're talking about here. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. See, when he talks about manner, this is 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5. When he says, as ye know what manner of men we were among you, that means that their testimony was such that it was their manner. It was their manner of life. It's the way they were. They were sincere and serious Christians. And then it says, what manner of men we were among you for your sake. Our walk as a Christian, based on Timothy and Titus especially, through Paul, sound doctrine, is actually for the people that watch you. Is this what they call lifestyle evangelism? No, not at all. Because along with your life being changing, you still need to tell them what's going on. You still need to speak the truth. Speak the truth in love. And yet your life will change. Then it says in verse 6, as ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction, with joy of the Holy Ghost. Isn't that odd? Received the word in much affliction, but they're followers of Paul with joy. So that ye were ensamples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. Here we go. For from you sounded out the word, okay, so they told people, for from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. So they sounded out the word, because in verse 9, for they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. So their life changed. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you. Does Paul's teachings enter into your life? Does the teaching from the risen Savior enter into your life? If so, you will turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God. That's what you're doing. And to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. So we don't have to worry about the tribulation, if anybody's concerned about that. But this just shows that it's not the fault of the Christians, the condition the country's in. It's the fault of the pastors for not telling the people how to turn to God and serve the living and true God. They haven't done that. How do you know they haven't done that? Because that's what preaching Paul is all about. How to turn to God, turn away from your idols, and serve the living and true God. And I'll tell you, when I hear people talk about God and criticize God and get angry at God, they really have no clue about the risen Savior. They have no clue about how God did what He did. They go by the Jewish teachings of what Jesus said to the Jews, and if they don't do this, then this has to take place, and this will take place. And He loved everybody, but they still had to walk the walk. That's the way it was. Paul's gospel is a liberty. And people are mad at a God who provided liberty for them by doing what He did. He didn't just give them a better book of rules or an easier book of rules. He took care of the law. He took care of sin. He made it possible for people to have their sins not only forgiven and not only just washed away in His blood, but cut away from His flesh. You cut away from that. And people hate God. They have no clue because pastors are not teaching about the risen Savior. Okay, another part of this, why pastors today can't, don't, and won't preach Paul's gospel, is it because it affects his church. His church meaning his church people. We're not talking about the church, the body of Christ. We're talking about a pastor and his congregation. Well, for one thing, Paul's teachings will put the church back where it belongs. Not in Acts chapter 2, but in Ephesians chapter 4. If anybody hasn't checked that out yet, it's Acts chapter 2, verse 28 to 47. It's Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13 to 16. Those are the things you need to compare. And you get Paul into your church, it'll put your church back where it belongs. And that's in Ephesians. We could talk forever about that. These are just basic comments. Paul challenges the modern church vision. Acts 26, 15 to 20, he's to take salvation to the ends of the earth. And a specific verse is Acts 13, verse 47. That's what the church vision should be. Paul's teachings will take away the gain, the desire for growth of numbers. It says in 1 Timothy chapter 6, describes a person who has created the modern Bibles, changed God's words. If any man teach otherwise, consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, etc., etc. It says one of their characteristics is supposing that gain is godliness. Gain is not proof of godliness. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. That's godliness. Gain, just because you have more people coming, doesn't mean that God's blessing it at all. Paul's preaching affects the church because it takes away a lot of the fun and the games that are taking place in there. The church is not a social activity hour. It's a place to hear preaching. It's a place where we've chosen to sing about the risen Savior with our songs. It's not a place for dances. It's not a place for rocking and rolling. There's a purpose for church. Go back to Ephesians chapter 4. Then, like I said, Paul's preachings will affect the church's missionary board. It'll affect their mission. Because what we're supposed to be going out to these mission fields with is not the Great Commission. It's what, again, I call the Greater Commission. And that's 1 Thessalonians 1:9 again. People will show other people the manner of entering in that Paul and the King James Bible rightly divided had into their lives and how they turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. That's what a missionary is supposed to be doing these days. And that is not taking place. Paul's preaching and teachings in the church will affect his church people. Now remember, I was a Baptist pastor. I got a hold of Paul's teachings. I got a hold of following Paul. I got a hold of Paul's doctrine, and I told my church people the first day I went to that church to preach and to be their pastor was, whatever I learn in my Bible, I will teach to you. So as I learned the stuff about Paul and the risen Savior, I preached it to the people. And we went over scripture and scripture and scripture all the time. It wasn't my teachings. It wasn't my opinion. That's what the scripture said. And I'm telling you, Paul affected the people. Sure, Paul affected the church. Paul affected my preaching. But Paul affected my people. What we found out was people can now sit down and read their own Bible, and the Spirit of God can teach them as they read their Bible. It's a lot like the Reformation was with Martin Luther. Really, they broke away from this church with the rules and the popery-ness. Well, it's time for another Reformation. It's time for people to get off the fence. It's time for people to get back into their Bible, not just back into their Bible, but back into a King James Bible, and not just back into a King James Bible, but a rightly dividing King James Bible, and you can sit down in your chair, and you can read and study your Bible all by your little self, and you do not need a pope or a pastor or a teacher to do so. There's purposes for them, and there's a place for that, but you can sit down with your Bible. So Paul will actually affect the people, which is what makes pastors envious and hateful towards Paul, towards the King James Bible, right? Sure. You know the verse, 2 Timothy chapter 3, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Now that's Scripture. That's Scripture. Do you have the Scriptures? If you can sit down with the Scriptures and you can read, those Scriptures will be profitable to you for doctrine. Now remember, there's doctrine for different dispensations within that Bible. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, but not all of that doctrine is to you. It's to the Old Testament people. It's to Noah and the people in his day. It's to the gospel days, to the Jews. It's to the tribulation doctrine. It's Paul's doctrine. All that Scripture is not to you. All of that Scripture is there for you. And yes, it's profitable for doctrine. It's profitable for doctrine for the people during the tribulation. It's profitable for doctrine for the people during the gospel days. It's profitable for doctrine to the people during the Old Testament days. What's important doctrine to you? Paul's writings. Romans to Philemon. It's profitable for reproof. It's profitable for correction. Who wants to be corrected? Who wants to be reproven? Who wants to be preached at? Well, sit down to their Bible. I think a lot of people don't want to read their Bible because it's actually there for reproof and for correction. They think it's just a book written by men. Not at all. This one isn't anyway. The other ones are. But this one isn't. And it's profitable for instruction in righteousness. How to do the right thing and the benefit from it, the rewards from it. It's just getting bad publicity and bad press. That's what's happening because they're not teaching the truth. They teach the Great Commission and they tear down Paul's teachings. That's what's going on, folks. Anyway, it affects the people. Folks can get more from their Bible than they can get from church. A pastor should preach the truth, preach the word, in season, out of season, not a problem. But he can't preach the whole Bible that day. He can't preach all of Paul's doctrines that day. I'd like to. But see, you can sit down. You don't need me to do that. You can sit down with your King James Bible, and you can read anything you want in there. So yeah, it affects the people. It exposes the dangers of a college and Bible institute. You know, formal Bible education. Formal Bible education today just shows people what's wrong with the Bible. Shows them how to build a church without God. Shows them how to have programs. Shows them how to do designs and how to come up with worldly success. It's become a corporation. What it does is it makes imitation Christians, imitation preachers, because they're imitation churches, imitation wives, imitation children, imitation preacher boys, imitation salvation, because they all use imitation Bibles. Quite a thing. One of the sad things about what Paul does to people is it affects your friends. You'll probably have to say goodbye to some of your friends and family. There's a lot of verses to how to withdraw thyself, from such turn away, mark them that follow Paul, mark them that don't follow Paul, mark them that cause offense towards what you believe, and you're supposed to stay away from them. You have to work with people, no problem. You have to be around people, and we're not talking about that. But that close fellowship, and most of the times, it isn't us that chooses to step aside. We have grace. It's about our relationship with Christ. They're the ones that get angry. They're the ones that get mad. They're the ones that actually pull away. They're the ones that withdraw from us. They are the ones that from such turn away from us. They're the ones that mark us because we are teaching what we're teaching. Our teaching is based on a Bible, folks. It's based on one book, King James Bible. It's rightly divided, just like it says. And if they have a problem with that, show me what's wrong with it. But they can't do that. They won't do that. One of the toughest things to do is to get somebody hungry to take a bite of something and then to swallow it. If we could just get people to see what the risen Savior has done, for them to understand what that is, then believe it and swallow it and get started in that Bible, and they'll find the greatest spiritual buffet they've ever considered. We have to keep trying. Ephesians 4:15, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. And Paul says, and I will very gladly spend and be spent for you. Though, he says, the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. This is what happens to us and our friends and people that we care about. He says in Galatians 4:16, am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Isn't that a hard thing? I will very gladly spend and be spent for you. I will not only put my time in there, I will be spent for you. Though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. And he becomes their enemy, just because he cares. That's a sad state of affairs, don't you think? So the next program, I guess we didn't get done this morning. The next program, we'll look at the effects of the price of pastoring. The cost, how Paul affects the cost of a pastor. We'll talk about that tomorrow. Stay with it, folks. You're just hearing more and more about what's truly going on in America. It isn't just politics that have fallen apart. It isn't just the economy. But the truth has disappeared from America. It's still there, but you have to search hard, and once you find it, you'll never let it go. We'll talk to you tomorrow morning, folks. Have a marvelous day.